extra teaching on a night that all you have is teaching. Isn't that awesome? All right, we got a few singers here tonight. I know that. So let me say this. This Sunday, Scott's going to be out, so I need some of you to volunteer to sing this Sunday. So see me right after this lesson with your heart full of volunteering to sing. And I'm just going to stare at people until they randomly be like, yeah, I'll volunteer. Yeah, and they'll look away. I'm looking at people. You better volunteer. All right, 1 Samuel 18:10. Y'all ready? Are y'all ready getting this? I'm hoping to get to verse 30. I'm hoping. I'm hoping to get to verse 30. It's okay to laugh and smile in church. And it came to pass. Are y'all seeing that on the morrow? Can we stop? Let me go back. I want to preface this because we always got to preface it. The last scene, the last thing from the last thing we done on this right here was remember Saul was looking at David. He was eyeing David. He was suspicious. He was afraid of David. He was afraid of what God was doing with David. And he said he was eyeing him. You know what I mean? He was really looking at him like, yeah, I'm going to keep my eye on you because I don't like what's going on. Y'all remember that? And y'all remember this as well. This is right after David had some of his biggest success ever. It's when David fought Goliath and won. And listen, he is also right before he's anointed the next king of Israel. He knows this. Now you got to realize this too. His whole family knows, right? Jesse knows. His brothers know. Six brothers know. And here he is. The next scene when we take up, they've came back from the battle. They've sang the stupid song. Sorry, that's just the way I like to think of it that way. And now he's in the palace. Now, I'm going to preach right here. I'm going to teach from this spot. It's a really good, there's a lot of stuff going on here, and I'm hoping it'll help you as much as it's helped me as looking at it from a Christian's point of view, who wants to serve, who wants to be used by God, but not be surprised by what can happen. And we're looking at it on a micro level. We're not any of us going to be the king of Israel. Well, I don't think so, but all right, 1 Samuel 18:10. And it came to pass on the morrow that the evil spirit from God came upon Saul. I would like to expound on that and tell you how God sends evil spirits on Saul. I don't understand that one quite yet, so I'll keep praying and get an answer for that. But I just want to know this. I want you to know was God Saul rejected God and he wasn't obedient, so God turned him loose right here, and you see an evil spirit. But when you don't come to me after the service and go, hey, explain that theological anomaly right there, how God used evil against Saul, I'm going to look at you with that bewildered look that you're giving me right now, and I'm going to say, I really don't understand that one. That'll be one of them things that me and God, when we get to heaven, we'll sit down and I'll say, can you explain that one? He'll probably say something like this: I'm a sovereign God and I'm in charge of everything. I'm in charge of everything. I'm good, bad, and indifferent. I'm in charge of the devil. I'm in charge of everything. I hope y'all get that. But to be honest with you, that kind of rattles me when I read it. I'm like, wait a minute. How's that work? You know, but let's just go with it. An evil spirit from God came upon Saul, and he prophesied in the midst of the house. Now listen, this is kind of strange verbiage right here in the King James. He says he prophesied, and you think, well, that's a good thing, but you got to realize there's an evil spirit there. But he's also, what he's doing, I believe with all my heart, is he's ranting the things that he knows are going to come true. And he knows that are true. Okay, maybe we can stay there? David, man, my own son loves David more than he loves me. Get that one? Okay, it seems like my daughter's in love with David. Who else could love him? Man, I don't have my sons. I don't have my daughters. You got that? The people are already ascribing him 10,000, me only 1,000. The people's harder towards him. And my goodness, it seems like God has chosen him over me. I mean, could you imagine? Now, you got to get on into this thing. He's not sleeping. He's mad and angry. He's full of pride. He's full of anger. He's full of fear. And so he's sitting there and he's just railing. Now, God, I want to teach so much, but let's get the whole picture. Let's look into the whole scene first. And David played with his hand as at other times. Another good word right there would be as usual. God, think about Would you just sit here? And I don't want to get to this last verse or that last part of this verse. But you imagine when you think, God, man, God's going to use me in a big way. Have you ever thought about that? Has anybody, man, you know God's pushing you into something. I know just about in here, I'm looking around the room and I kind of see it. There's been a lot of you in this room that God has dealt with you and you've done some things for Him. You had to have some apprehensions or fears and at the bottom, and excitement, right? Some excitement. I mean, there's been some many, many times, but I know I'm looking at a group of people who, when God put that on your heart, you're like, yes, God's called me to do this. And it's gonna, and you start going to plan, and you go to thinking, you go to preparing, right? So when David was anointed, and I mean, I'm telling you, Samuel poured a whole dose of oil on this boy. I mean, covered him down with oil. Hey, you're going to be the next king of Israel. And then he goes down and he fights Goliath. And the next thing you know, come up to the kingdom. You're going to play the harp player full time. This is going to be amazing. I'm going to be the best harp player, man of God, warrior. I am going to be amazing. This is going to be the best. Man, let me go. Have y'all got that in your mind? But then all of a sudden you're sitting over on the harp and you got a man, a crazy man. Right? You're playing the harp for Crazy Town. Just go to sleep, little king. Oh, Lord, help you go to sleep. Now, y'all, you got to see this the way I see it. It's awesome. Watch. As at other times, he's doing this a lot. And there was a javelin in Saul's hand. Yes. Y'all put on pretty good for a church. Y'all put up with some crazy stuff before. You know you have. And some of you will put up with some crazy stuff going forward. All of a sudden, he's sitting here going, I'll guarantee you. He was like, I wished I was on the backside of the desert playing the harp for my little sheep. Wish when I was back at Daddy's house with my brothers. They were not heads, but at least they didn't have a javelin. Stuff like that. Because, I mean, Saul is over there making sawdust. You'll get it. You'll get it. It'll come to you. He's just grinding that thing. And he's looking right at you, just David and David and David and David. I bet he said his name over and over and over. I mean, when you hate something so bad, it permeates. It gets in every fiber of who you are. Man, this is good, right? Everybody wants to be David. Every one of his brothers upset. Why didn't I get anointed? Why didn't I get anointed? Why didn't I get anointed? Man, he passed over me and he got David. I mean, and you got to think, man, all these guys, their whole family, everybody on the outside going in, when he's going into the king's house, he's got it made. Got it made. If y'all don't remember, at the end of the battle, King Saul passed over all the taxes for David's father, Jesse. Passed no more taxes for that family because he delivered Israel. Ain't that amazing? So, I mean, everybody watching him go into the king's house, going into the palace, I wish I could be them. I wish I could be that guy. I wish I could be that son. I wish I could be that talent. I wish I could have that calling. What if I had that ministry? Man, look at that. You know, David's sitting there every night going, I'm up all night, as usual, playing for a crazy man who's playing with a weapon. Right? Now let's look at it. And Saul cast the javelin, for he said, I will smite David even to the wall with it. And David avoided out of his presence. Somebody please read that next word for me. How many? How many times has it got to happen for you? How many times has it got to happen for you? But can we be real with each other? I mean, just be really real. Sometimes in ministry, javelins keep on coming. You okay? Are we all right? Now listen, when I say ministry, I'm talking about you and whatever God's called you to do and whatever purpose that is. I don't care if you're ministering to a family member, a friend, a neighbor, at work, whatever God's put you in. I just wanted you to get that last part twice. Golly, bum. If we'd be truly honest with ourselves, we could fill this altar up with how many times we had to dodge javelins. How many times somebody tried to smite us against the wall and end who we are because they hated us. Because God. Because we were trying to do the right thing. Golly, bum. And we were even excited when we were called. We ran through the door. We jumped at the opportunity. Golly, bum. This is so quiet in here. I wish it wasn't this quiet all the time. Listen, I'm telling you, how many of you ever said, have you ever said this? I know there's one that's just sticking out the top of my brain right now that's just wearing me out. I remember a couple times in ministry, God answered my prayer. We're going. But just a few days later, oh God, where are you? The thing that you begged God for? The thing that you shouted about? Now you're wondering where he is? David's just sitting over there playing the harp. Playing the harp every night. Been thrown at twice, and he's not getting thrown out by a rookie. This is a man of war. He's just graced with speed, and God's got a plan. Some of y'all might want to write that one down. You got by because God has grace. You got a little speed. You might have been smart a little bit. But God had a plan. I wish y'all could. I mean, I see this like I'm watching a movie. It's like I see him just kind of out of the corner of his eye going, yeah, he's about to throw that. You know? I mean, hitting every chord, hitting every note. Praise God, doing his very best. Everybody on the outside is like, man, David's got it made. He's up at the palace. His dad's telling everybody, my boy, killed that giant, slew him dead. And then he's up, you know, got a big gig, up the castle, knocking him dead. I mean, just playing. The king couldn't even help himself. Had him up there. He's playing every night. He's loving life. Man, and the brothers are all, good. Let's hear another David story, Dad. Good job, Dad. Everybody, man, that's how it is sometimes. They look. Have you ever had somebody look on the outside of your life and believe that everything is great, but yet there's chaos in the king's house, right? That's the title of this message. There's chaos in the king's house. David can't even tell nobody. You wouldn't believe what I put up with. They wouldn't even hear him. What are you kidding? You killed Goliath, man. You're a guy. You're up there, man. I'd do anything to have your job. You got it. Man, you just, goodness gracious. People look at you. Oh, man, you got the nicest car, nicest hair, nicest job. You just got it made. You're like, jump on in here with me. You know what I mean? Come on in. Do it for us about 6 months. But let's do this thing. Are y'all good? Y'all see? I love this. Do you love the Word of God like this? I just see it, and I'm glad he puts it in there because it's right after his biggest victory. He puts him in there, and I've been there so many times. I mean, I've sat at desks before. You get to that. Oh, look at this. Look at this. Oh, gosh. I got a debt, the first pastorship I ever done. I remember walking in the room, we'll sit down. I'm a pastor. Well, Pastor Kevin. Well, look at that. Look at that. I didn't know for the next 2 years. I wouldn't. One fire after another fire, and after another fire. And I sat in that same room, in that same office, and have 4 or 5 or 10 minutes say, I wish you'd just leave. Okay. Right? Oh, come on. But you understand what I'm saying? Chaos. But it's God's chaos. God's chaos. And I began to think, though. I was thinking, why in the world would would God allow this to happen? I think he picked David on purpose. You understand what I'm saying? Yeah, he's a warrior. Yeah, he's a giant killer. Yeah, all that other stuff. He slew the lion and the bear on the backside of the desert. But I think that sometimes he could deal with low expectation. Right? He could deal with, okay, I can be patient. I can wait. Remember? Because when Samuel did come to anoint the next king of Israel, he wasn't even included. He was left out on the backside of the desert. And I don't care who you are. If your dad just says, no, it's not going to be you, you're going to think about that, right? It might be one of your other brothers, but it's not going to be you. So here it is, full circle. I bet he's thinking, I wish it had been my oldest brother alive. I wish he'd have got it. Well, he deserves this, right? That one that opened his mouth down there when he brought the bread and the cheese to the battle. He's, why are you here? I know your heart. I wish he had got this job, right? But God gave it to him because you know what? Sometimes he uses your abilities that you don't even know you have to weather the storm, but he's also showing you firsthand. David got an inside look of what it's like to be a king who has rejected God and is rejected by God. Golly, come on, man. Y'all stay with me right here because you got to think about this. Sometimes I don't have to make a mistake if I can watch somebody else have a real bad one. Amen? He's probably sitting there going, man, you know what? You wouldn't be tormented half as bad if you would just take your problem to God. Amen? You need to stop ranting and raving at me and everything else that's going on, and you should redirect that to God. Have you ever done that? David's a professional at it. Y'all didn't know that, but he is. David's a professional at that. David would worship God. He wrote most of the Psalms, and most of the Psalms start out with a complaint or a problem. They end up in worship. So it's a proof to say you can go to God with your complaint or your problem as long as you stay long enough to figure out who's in control and what he's going to do. Oh, it's as long as you stay long enough that you don't just drop off the complaint. That's our problem. A lot of times we just come drop off the complaint and we head out on God. We don't stick around for him to renew us, strengthen us, and send us out better than we came. Amen, preacher. That's really good preaching. That's helping me tonight. I just amen myself. I will. You know I will. All right, so let's go. I could come back here and just touch on that and touch on that and touch on that. That's such a big deal. I hope you get there's a lot more dimensions we can look at right there. But don't be surprised on either side of that. I'm going to use this little, and I'm going to sew this one up and move on to the next. On this side of it, don't be surprised if nobody relates to you because you're doing something and you're loving God and he's using you for some purpose and somebody hates you for that and they turn on you and say all kinds or do all kinds and do all this. Listen, don't just realize that that's between you and God. You got to deal with that. And maybe they'll come along later on. Okay? Are y'all good? Now, on the other side, stop looking at people that are doing something that you want to do or you wish you could do and are doing it and you just think, man, they've got it made. It could help us pray a little bit more, right? If we see somebody doing something for God or for a family member or a job that's real, but we think, man, they got it made. You don't know what's going on. So maybe we can come to that place and say, maybe there's some battles they're fighting that we just don't know about. So I'm going to pray for them. Right? Does that make sense to y'all? Good. I hope that made sense. Let's move on. I want to show y'all some more stuff in these scriptures right here. And Saul was afraid of David. That tells you a lot right there, right? Because the Lord was with him and was departed from Saul. Okay? Verse 13. Best thing ever happened to David right here. Verse 13. Gary, watch this right here. Therefore, Saul removed him from him. Sometimes we worry about when somebody lets us go or somebody tells us to go or move on. Hey, sometimes we love toxicity. You can fall in love with a problem. Amen? Hey, sometimes we don't know when to let go of some people. Amen? Saul said, get out. David's like, yes, sir. You want me to get my harp or you want me to just burn it? Right, no, sorry. Just do whatever you want to with it. It's got a javelin hole right through the center of it. Sorry. And Saul was afraid, and David departed from Saul. Therefore, Saul removed him from him and made him captain over 1,000. He went out and came in before the people. You know what he did? He removed him, but he put him over the special forces. He put him over 1,000 men. But what that was, that's the reactionary force for the king. That's pretty much like our SEALs, our special forces. They're the first ones in. They're like the spear tip of the fighting force. So everywhere they'd have a problem, he was sending him. So what he was thinking he was doing is, I can't stand him, and it seems like he's like Gumby. I can't hit him. So I'll put him over my special forces group, and I will send him to every battle I got, and I will get him killed, right? He's smart. Listen, hey, your enemy is smart. Sometimes he's thinking a couple of steps out. Amen? What does that matter to you? It does matter to you. You can do this, but as long as you are in the will of God, you are not outside the plan of God. Y'all can do a lap right there. You could shout, raise both hands, and praise God on that one. As long as you're in the will of God, you'll never get outside the plan of God. Does that make sense to y'all? Did y'all get that? That's a big deal. Because like right there in my human nature, my nature is to go on offense and figure out how to strategize, you know. David was just being David. I love God, and this must be what God wants me to do. I'll do it to the best of my ability. Period. All right? Well, I've got a plan. I'm going to kill him. Problem is, you got God, who's the ultimate stratagem. Yeah, he's our refuge, our protector, our shield, our buckler. But my goodness, he's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the guy. I'm about to get in a football analogy right here. He's up in the big press box in the sky. He's watching both ends of the field. He sees the whole thing. He sees what the offense, the defense, and everybody's doing. So he can look at it and go, I know what they're about to do, and I'm going to do this with you. And I'm moving. And all things work together for them who are called according to his purpose, right? What you meant for evil, God meant for good. Go, 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 go. Oh, sorry. Just say it. Got out of there. Escape me. Y'all see it? It's how God works. You don't have to be some big, I'm smarter than that. You just got to line up with God and know that he's smarter than the devil. Amen? So, and David believed him wisely. Wait a minute. Yeah. And David behaved. Oh, look at that. Verse 14. Talking about behavior. Listen, y'all want to skip that one? And David behaved himself wisely in all his ways, and the Lord was with him. You know what would have been good, Rebecca, if I would have just read that verse before I did all that other stuff. Stay in God's will. You can't get out of God's plan. That's what that just said. That's what happens when you get ahead of God's word. And David behaved himself. He behaved himself before who? God, right? And then he was, and the Lord was with him. Verse 15, wherefore Saul, when Saul saw that he behaved himself very wisely, he was afraid of him. When the heat's turned up and you get aggravated, frustrated, mad, the enemy's all around you and you're just being used upon, he expected him to come apart. But instead, I wish y'all could get this. God bless. Oh, you ain't going to believe this. Man, God was just with us. It was like we were outnumbered. We should have been dead, but we won again. Yep. Well, I got another battle down here for you, and there's really no chance for you guys getting out, but we need you to jump in there and do your best. All right, well, we're going to pray before we go. I'm going to get my 1,000 men. We're going to go in there prepared, and next thing you know, he's come blood and guts and a whole lot of danger here, and they come back. They're all walking in. Praise God, not one of us were hurt, man. It's amazing. We had a battle, and we went in, and next thing you know, man, I don't even know how we made it. It must have been God. It must be God, right? And his fear is just building up on him on the inside. Because why? Because everything he's planted against him, the Lord's turned around for his good. And he will do the same for you on a micro level. I mean, you know what I mean? Sometimes we can get, I'm going to be a warrior. I'm just talking about, praise God, just get focused that you're going to behave yourself for God. And no matter what happens, you're in God's plan. Okay? You're in God's will. He's with you. Just behave yourself. Woo! We just shut this thing up tonight. Behave ourselves. Man, I hope nobody takes a note and gives this to me one day. Here, behave yourself, brother. Just behave. Golly, I don't want to behave sometimes. I want to act out. I want to say what I want to say. I want to come in and pitch a little tantrum and say, it seems like you're putting me in all the battles. Instead of looking at God saying, I'm winning all the battles. Right? Some of us, we prayed for what we got, right? We prayed for what we want. Then we got in it. It seems like I'm getting all the heated battle. No, do you know what God's doing, right? God is establishing who David is. He's building him up with who? This is not for him and Saul. This is for David to be the greatest king Israel's ever known, because he's winning the heart of the people. Because guess what? It's one thing to be anointed the king. Okay, who is this Saul? Oh, he's head and shoulders above everybody. He's the next king. Okay, great. Who is David? This is a guy who, slobber knocked his way from the bottom to the top. It's a little shepherd boy who said, I will, right? This is a guy who come up amongst us. He wasn't bigger than all of us. He was smaller than all of us. He didn't earn it. He just behaved himself before God. And you'd have to be a fool not to see it. And at the end of this, man, I don't want to go into the whole thing, but in the end, Samuel anoints King David over Israel, right? He also anointed Saul. But guess at the end, all the people choose David. Sorry. That's pretty good. Sorry. I got it way ahead. We're only like 14 chapters ahead now, y'all. I went 3 verses ahead earlier in 1 verse, and now I'm like in 2 Samuel. Y'all should just get rid of me right now for that one. All right, verse 17. And Saul and David behold the elder. Oh, man, is that right? But Israel and Judah loved David because he went out and came in. I did that again. Just did it again, but it's okay because I got a little ADHD. All right, so let's go a little further. 17, and Saul said to David, behold, my elder daughter, Merab, her will I give thee to wife. Only be thou valiant for me and fight for the Lord's battles. Man, he's talking, he's all spiritual. For Saul said, let not my hand be upon him, but let the hand of the Philistines be upon him. I'm going to kill him over a lady and a battle. If you can't get a man in battle, got to get him tied up in a woman and a battle. And he's going to use his own daughter, too. That's weird, right? All right, let's go a little further. And David said unto Saul, who am I? Call y'all. Hey, let's slow down. I don't want to rush. I might even have to break this down and come back later and do some more. Let's look at who David's character right here. How cool is this? Look who David knows. He's been anointed the king of Israel. He's winning all these battles. And the very mention that Saul says, let me give you my daughter. And the first thing David says is, who am I? Wow. Wow. Who am I? Who am I? I don't belong in the king's family. Whew. There's more to this, but I just want you to see that. I mean, could you imagine? I like to compete in some areas and some things. Understatement. But anyway, I'm very competitive. So could you just imagine where David's at in his arc as far as kind of where he would be in his idea of who he kind of is? And all of a sudden, maybe we'd get to thinking, maybe I could do just as good as King Saul. Or, you know, I could probably do just as good a job, probably a little bit better. If you're not careful, you can do that. You can look at somebody else and say, well, I don't know what God's doing with them there, and then me here. I should be there, and they should be here. That's just being brutally honest. Sometimes I've done it before. I looked at one pastor I had. I said, good Lord, you just put me in that job. You know what? That pastor's still there, and I'm gone. You know what? He was there. He's been there almost 16 years. God knew what he was doing. That wasn't for me. It was for him, right? So it's things like that. Y'all can look at it. Watch. And David said to Saul, who am I? And what is my life or my father's family of Israel that I should be a son-in-law to the king? What? Did you see that? First of all, he's thinking about what it would cost. Some of y'all need to take your daughters to this little slide right here, because the first thing David was thinking of is, I can't come up with a dowry. If you don't believe that, I'll show you in a second, or I'll show you the next time we come into this, because when he gives Michael, he says the same thing. Is what could I give for a dowry? And there was an exception made for David. He gave him a dowry that he thought was going to get him killed, but instead he surpass that. not maybe the next week, but he was worried about the dowry. Golly, Bob. Some of y'all let this sink. Y'all need to, if you have a daughter in this room right now, you might just a little perk up your ears and go absorb, right? I'm not telling your business. I'm just saying it wouldn't hurt. The first thing this man thought of is, what is a king's daughter worth? And I don't know if I can afford it. Amen? Wouldn't that be awesome if you had a young man who says, I don't know if I'm worth what your daughter's worth. I don't know if I could come up with what she's worth. Man, Saul's a fool. Saul should have said, you're the man. You know what I'm saying? But he didn't. But we're looking at that. Well, he was, what is your daughter worth? I've been preaching that for a long time. But you used to, that was the thing. I know it's way past what it should be, but you used to go to the father and ask permission to even date, let alone marry. But in their custom, you had to come up with a dowry. And just one good dowry was a good milk cow. I would love it to get a milk cow in this car. Goodness, come on. Yes! I keep you in milk during a famine or something, you know what I mean? Oh God, y'all got a smile. Could tell me, that's a big deal. A donkey? A goat? Sorry. But back then you had to do multiples, right? Whatever he said that was worth it. And if you loved the girl, was the most famous one? I think it's Jacob. 7 years? I mean, he didn't have a dowry at all, but let's make a contract. You've 7 years. 7 years. That's a long time. And then it doubled up on him. 14. Did he waste any of his time? No. Birthed the tribe of Israel. The whole tribe. Out of that little deal. Sorry, come on, y'all. Sorry. When you find the love of your life, there's no cost. There's nothing you won't give. Nothing you won't do, right? Should be that way. Golly, yes. That's good, subtle teaching. Some of you mothers in here, hopefully you're getting that right there. Just let it, hold these guys to another standard. Hold your daughters to another standard. Huh? Let them see their worth. Tell them they're worth something. Goodness, girl, I get myself in trouble. And David said unto Saul, who am I and my life or my father's family of Israel that I should be a son-in-law to the king? But it came to pass. We're going to stop right there. But let me get one more big point in right here because I was thinking about this. Let's do an overarching thing. Y'all ready? Let's do a big overarching thing. Isn't it amazing that Saul is kind of holding or hanging his family lineage over David? Stay with me. Wouldn't you like to be in the king's lineage? Okay, if he would have said he would have then taken the name of Saul and he would have been in the lineage of kings. If the right people would have passed away or whatever the case may be, he might have been king, right? Y'all good? But ain't it amazing over the overarching thing that the greater person, Saul, would have been begging to be in his lineage? You understand what I'm saying? Okay, Jonathan took off his armor and put it on David. What he was saying is, I find my identity in you. You and me are, I will change identities. I don't care if my dad ever calls you a son. I will call you the next heir to the throne. Y'all see it? What if he had ever been wise, if he could ever seen who God was, and he knew God was with David, he could have turned his heart to God and said, and just went ahead and said, look, I should be wanting to get in your lineage. Which, if you don't know this, the lineage of David is the lineage of Christ, right? And I don't care what kind of king or kingdom you have, when it ends and you're outside the lineage of Christ, it's a failure, right? So that's where he could have took his crown and said, I see God's for you. I should be for you. Right? Is that awesome? Now, we didn't get, like, nowhere where I thought we'd get tonight. Thank y'all for tuning in, whoever y'all are. God bless y'all. Sorry. Just spoke to those people, whoever they are. Let me ask y'all this. Did you get something out of the teaching? Did you get something out of the teaching?